not only the topic, but the very thesis tonight that I would like to give word to, that I would like to give an effort to. To be expedient, we'll go right to the word, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. That if you would grant me a little liberty tonight, as I am very much used to preaching behind prison walls. So I'm not used to some of the things that we have here, like off-the-wall scriptures and all of that. Typically, I just say, when you get there, say amen. When we get a majority, we go at it. So how about that? Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, and the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Mark that. According to the Spirit. You walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would speak to us tonight. Lord God, I ask that you would anoint my lips. Lord God, that I would speak your word. Lord God, I ask that you would anoint our minds. Lord God, that we would be able to conceptualize it. Lord God, plant a seed in our heart. Lord God, farrow it. Prepare it, Lord God. Make the seed to grow, Lord Jesus, that your word would take root. Lord God, I ask that you would minister to us in this service. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. I must be a whole lot like Brother Neil, because I was superstarring in my car, singing this song, having a grand old time. And it's one of my favorite songs. And to take it back just a notch, if we can rewind, I had to go to court on Tuesday. And so I'm in a courtroom, and I feel like I'm out of place. I never feel right in a courtroom, because it's a place of judgment. And I know me. I don't like to be in the place of judgment. I don't like to be in a place where sentences are handed down. I don't like to be in a place where you have to disseminate the effects of your life. I don't like that environment. It bothers me. You see, I'm a man with a past. It's a forgiven past, but in my own memory, I can dredge up things. I can dredge up things that cause me to stale and to stall. I can dredge up things that cause me to be weary in the presence of judgment. So I'm sitting in there feeling completely out of place. I had my little Gideon's Bible because I knew I was going to have to prepare to preach this week. Not only in prison, but here. And inevitably, if you have that many people in one room, somebody's cell phone will go off. And you can tell a lot about people by their cell phone tones. Because you think you know somebody, and then their phone rings, and it's dun 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 dun. You're, what is that? That does not match that person. So you get to find out a little thing about them. so I'm in this room full of people. I don't know hardly anybody in there. A couple of people I knew from maybe work or so. But one of my favorite songs is their ringtone. And so on the way home, the song is going over in my head, and I'm singing it. I can only imagine. Oh, man. Imagine being in the presence of God. Imagine being there with the Creator, the one who not only judges but redeems and justifies and sanctifies. Oh, man, the one that I owe it all to, my Redeemer. What would I do? What would I do? And I'm singing this song, and I'm feeling all great about it. And then I realized that I'm singing something I shouldn't be singing. I can't only imagine. I no longer have to imagine. The thought of it sank in. It haunted me all the ride home. I tried to sing the song again and couldn't do it. I'm not picking on the song. I love the song. Since then, I've listened to it and sang it again. It's just in the moment when I was being spoken to by God, when He was delivering this to me, when He was teaching me this precept. You see, this came to mind that I am the redeemed. I no longer live in the flesh, but I live in spirit. You see, I can't sing the song. I can only imagine. You see, it says when we're surrounded by God's glory, how will my heart be? Will I dance for you, Jesus? It goes through a list of things of what you might do. Would you dance in front of Jesus? Would you raise your hands? Would you fall on your knees? Would you be able to speak? But you see, I am blood-bought. I am spirit-filled. God ingrained something in me. He put something in me, and it was none other than His own Spirit. The Holy Ghost. You see, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you not only have the Spirit of God encompassed about you, but you now have it within you. You have become a living vessel. You no longer live by yourself. You are entirely encompassed by God. Every day, every waking moment, you see my dreams even change. When I sleep, the Holy Ghost provides. When I speak, the Holy Ghost provides. It provides my thought. It guards me. It keeps me from my flesh, my sinful, lustful flesh. I'm born again. I no longer have to be subject to my imaginations. I no longer have to be subject to what I can imagine. I no longer have to imagine. I no longer have to deal in fantasy. I no longer have to deal in conjecture. I no longer have to deal in thought. You see, I have an experience. It was born on an altar when I was surrounded by the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing because I no longer ask that question. I can sing the song, but I can no longer idealize with it. I'm not trying to tell you not to listen to it. I love it. It was by a local band, and it's written in plain Texas speak. I love it. It's a beautiful song. I'll continue to listen to it. But I'm telling you, my idea of it changed. You see, I know what will happen when I see my God. Revelation 7, verse 9 through 17 says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands." Let me tell you something. This is none other than the redeemed. This is none other than the bride of Christ. This is none other than the blood bought. This is none other than the sins that have been removed. This is the reliving. This is the redeemed. This is the sanctified, the justified. But not only that. This is us in heaven, encountering the presence of God. "And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. You see, it's mapped out for us. We have a promise. All you have to do is make it to the end. You don't have to imagine anymore. But that's the end. That's the end. It's scripted. It's foretold. We know how it's going to act. John the Revelator, even when encountering the angelic, even when encountering just the angels, fell and worshiped. I know that of it. I know what'll happen. I've read about it in the book. But let me tell you something. The end is not where praise is born. You see, you won't worship in the end if you don't worship now. I know you're saying, how can I say that? How can I say that? But I'm telling you this, that if you don't live it now, with God living in you and around you, and you don't worship, you won't worship in heaven. You'll be stagnant here on earth, and you won't make it. Worship. My God inhabits the praise of His people. That says it right here in this book. It says that God inhabits the praise of His people. It's when we get together and we lift our hands. It's when we get together and we praise. It's when we thank Him every day. That's where we meet Him. That's when we're encompassed. That's where the rubber meets the road. You see, it's in the daily walk. I no longer have to imagine how it'll be in heaven because I get to live it here on earth. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. It doesn't say in heaven. It says praise ye the Lord. I got to thinking on the way home of the voices that I've heard, the praise that we've heard, of the Christians that aren't here anymore. I'm telling you, there are voices that we'll hear that will be a familiar tune. When this great multitude sounds off, I guarantee you there will be people from this church who have passed on that we will hear their voices. I know this because I heard them here. I heard them continuing. I heard them until their last trial worship. Worship through the trial. Worship through the tribulation. Worship God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It says that in this book. It says that in my Bible. It says it in your Bible unless you tore it out. I guarantee you it's printed in there. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When the enemy comes against you with his sword, when he comes against you in accusation, when the accuser of the brethren has his finger in your face, the joy of the Lord. You see, no longer do I live in sin. No longer am I subject to death. You see, I may die in mortal flesh, but never again. Never again. Oh, how I want to be in that great multitude in heaven. You see, all it takes is praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, for this trial. Oh, I know I'm tempted and I'm tried. Oh, God, but praise you for this trial. Thank you for the victory on the other side of it. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that this day brought into it. It's when we get a little joy in our step. It's when we walk a little bit different, Brother Raymond. It's when we get a little different stride about us, when we get a little praise about us, when people say, how you doing, and you say, praise the Lord, man, woo! How is it? I will tell you this, I have not had a bad day since Tuesday. Now I'm only two in, but it's been wonderful. You see, maybe I'm just teaching me Maybe I'm just reuttering something to you that I needed to learn. But I'm telling you now, this is good. If you'll get a hold of it, I'm telling you, God wants you to hear it because He's already said it. Before I stepped up here, it was pre-emanated. It was set up. God had praise and worship on His mind. God had praise and worship trying to pull it out. He sent a servant beforehand. He sent praisers beforehand. You see, this service started off in the right manner. It started off with praise and worship. It started off with, God, we love You. It started off with, God, we praise You. And it's time that we continue. It's time that we push through. It's time during the preaching that we praise. It's time that we all gather around the altars and start to praise. When somebody's praying through, it's time to give thanks. Oh, how wonderful it is to see someone praying through and to be able to worship. You see, I'm not sure what anybody else prays when someone's praying through, but I don't know what else to pray other than just thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. I must say it a million times. And I know it says not to pray in vain repetitions, but I'm not being vain at all. I'm telling you, every time I see a new soul being born, it reminds me of a night in Marshall, Texas, when I was on the wrong side, on the lady side, praying through. And I had every lady I knew right there. I don't even think the men could get to me. I think the pastor had to crawl over one. But I'm telling you, it didn't bother me one bit. You see, I learned that as soon as I gave up all of that repentance, as soon as I got it, that God said, okay. As soon as I started to praise, you see, that's when the change took. That was the weirdest thing. I thought, now see, I know in Acts 2:38 it says, repent, be baptized, every one of you in Jesus' name receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know that. And that's what I did. But I'm telling you, it's when I changed gears and got into the praise part of it. When I got into the thank You. When I got into the believing God for His Word. He said if I repented. He said if I laid it all right there on that altar and literally turned and walked away from it. When I started praising Him for that, that was the first step. Immediately. Immediately. Man, my jaw flew open and I said things I still don't know. I spoke with other tongues. It was amazing. It was so amazing. You see, I at that very moment, I couldn't do anything but praise. For the next few hours, all I could do was praise. The first experience with the Holy Ghost brought about praise. And it's not just in me. I see it in everybody. I see it's not just the repentance from their sins, but it's the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's having God encompassed about you. How can you not say thank You, thank You, thank You? How wonderful it was. I had a little MG midget. Man. All I could do was just drive around and just scream, just thank You, Lord, thank You, Lord, thank You. I grew up in my hometown, and everybody knew that I drank and smoked a little dope. So they must have thought either, I don't know what they thought. I didn't really care. Because you see, I was drunk a whole new way. I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. It was awesome. It was so wonderful. But the lesson in this is this. Don't leave it there. Don't leave your praise at the altar. Don't leave your praise at those doors. Don't leave the praise at your home when you walk out. Take it in your car with you. Oh, man. Take it everywhere you go. If you can praise God in a prison, you can praise God anywhere. Paul and Silas were freed from praise. I know a few other people that since they've got the Holy Ghost, God has freed them from prison. Real men in today's world that as soon as God healed them, sanctified them. They got filled with the Holy Ghost and they started praising. Guess what happens with that praise? Your testimony comes out. You can't praise God 100% and not get personal. You see, I can't praise God and not name names sometimes. And not people's names, but I name off a few sins that maybe He shucked off of me. Not maybe. He did. Pardon me if I misspeak. He did shuck them off of me. If you hear me praising God and you hear my sin, you understand that's my testimony. You understand that that's my testimony. Things that I may utter in praise, I would never tell anybody, but God will somehow, I can't help but remember. I can't help but remember what I once was. I know that when I get to heaven, I can sing the rest of Amazing Grace. But right here in life, I can't seem to get past the first verse. It seems to be the theme of my life. It seems to be the theme of ministry to me. It seems to be the theme of what life is really about. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can't help but tie being a new person, being no longer subject to sin, with praise. They go hand in hand. When I started searching the Scripture, it seemed so odd that these two would be together. It seemed so odd that dredging up the old would be in with the praise of the new. This is the only place that you'll find people combine the bad and the new, and it makes the new so much better. It makes the new so much better. It's like salt. Didn't it say that we're supposed to be salt and light? Salt and light. I'm telling you, when you get into the true worship, to the true worship, then becoming light to this world will not be a problem. You'll be salt to this world because you're no longer like them. You'll rub them wrong. You'll rub them different. They'll ask questions. Every day in prison, I get asked some of the strangest questions by people who I don't even know why they ask me these questions. I guess they talk about me when I walk out of the room. And that's okay. That's one place you want to be different. Trust me. But they come up and they say things like, does your wife really not cut her hair? And so I get to witness. I get to witness. And they say, do you really not have a TV? When's the last time you watched a TV show? I get to witness. But I get to praise. There should be praise in your witness. There should be praise in your speech. There should be praise in the way that you pay your check. There should be praise. I don't really have a set way to shut this down. I don't know. I don't think that there is a way to shut this down. I think that this is a continual message. I don't think that God really wants this to end. I think that this is an enticement to praise. I think that this is incitement to praise. I think that this is the goad to praise. I think it would be a good idea if we would praise right now. I think it would be a good idea if we would just turn over a little bit of listening to a little bit of talking. If we would turn over a little bit of learning to a little bit of remembering. If we would turn over a little bit of our wondering and imagining to a little bit of doing. You no longer have to imagine what you would do in the Spirit of God. You see, He is in this place right now. What you do right now will answer all of the questions of eternity. What you do right now will affect how you live the rest of your life. It's cliche to say it, but it's been said so many times, I have to believe it's true. This literally is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first second of the rest of your life. Will you live life as a worshiper? Or will you live life wondering what it would be like? For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, Every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. But you see, that's during the judgment. There will be plenty who will come and say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? We did it all in your name. And he'll literally reply, I knew you not.